We should never be afraid to invite others back to God. Now, I'm sure you know, but the largest religion in the world is Catholicism. The second largest religion in the world is ex-Catholics. Yet, so often, we wrongly become okay with our friends and family members being away from the church. You know, my mom was talking to my godmother recently, and my godmother, of course, was present at my baptism, and she was also my confirmation sponsor. And she's actually worked for the church her entire life in different occupations, and she still does. Well, in the course of their conversation, my mom asked her how her parish was doing. There was silence. "I'm actually not going to church anymore," she said. Turns out, she was angry at the church for X, Y, or Z. My mom, without missing a beat, said, "But what about your soul?" This comment by my mom led them into a conversation in which my godmother admitted she needed to come back to Mass. You see, we might have things we need to work through in life, but being in right relationship with Christ and His church is the most important. Now, the gospel this morning relays the story of Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector and a wealthy man in the city of Jericho. And you can actually go and see the sycamore tree that he sat, because what they did, sycamore trees live, they're like parrots, they live forever. And they put a fence around, it's true, they put a fence around this tree, and so you can see this tree that he was on. And as a tax collector, he was hated by the Jewish people because he was collaborating with the Romans, right? Well, tax collectors were also known for being corrupt and stole money from people often. And Zacchaeus was clearly no different. Yet, Zacchaeus had been seeking our Lord for some time, the gospel says. I mean, after all, word had spread around the region about the Savior, and droves of people were trying to hear his words. Zacchaeus' heart was yearning to encounter our Lord. Now, to the surprise and disgust of those watching, though, our Lord calls Zacchaeus by name. He knows him and invites himself to his house. Now, again, the people knew Zacchaeus to be a corrupt man. So why would our Lord come to his house, where there are so many other people he could be staying with? Righteous people, God-loving people, for example. Well, by the very simple and ordinary encounter with Christ, Zacchaeus' heart was converted and his life was changed. As we just heard, he promised to give to the poor half his possessions and make restitution four times over for all his wrongdoings. Christ, who, as the first reading says, is the lover of our souls, had sought the lost Zacchaeus out from the crowd in order to save him. Now, all throughout his ministry, Christ sought out those in need of salvation, those who were far from God. That was his apostolate, his mission, to bring salvation to those held captive by sin and despair. Though our Lord no longer walks this earth with us now as he once did, he still comes to seek and save what is lost. By no means is his mission ended. As we know, or should, he now continues his saving mission through his church, the people of God. We are called to bring Christ to others, to seek and save what was lost, to continue his mission of salvation down through the ages. As St. Teresa of Avila once wrote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours." There is, however, a common but false mentality into which we can easily fall, that people are, quote-unquote, okay where they're at. But that is not the mentality of Christ. I mean, otherwise, he would have ignored Zacchaeus in that tree. We are meant to bring those who are far from God back into his fold, to either rekindle or have them begin a relationship with him. To use the language of the church, we need to have a zealous animarum, a zeal for souls. We as Catholics are meant to evangelize, to preach the gospel to others, We are meant, with God's help, to seek and save what was lost, to help save souls from hell. My mom didn't just pass off my godmother's comment, which would have been the easy thing to do. She spoke up in defense of the church in the hope of saving my godmother's soul. It didn't take any real effort, but perhaps an initial courage by her. For us, too, evangelization comes in many different forms. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean traveling to a foreign country to do mission work or even going door to door, though these methods, of course, are wonderful and important. Instead, evangelization needs to happen in very simple ways, in everyday life, all with the intention to seek and save what was lost. Now, I don't know about you, but I have not met in person yet the Holy Family, so I've never met a perfect family. Many of us who are from Catholic families have fallen away Catholics in them now. When was the last time we invited a fallen away member of our family back to church? When was the last time we invited someone back to Mass who hasn't made a regular appearance since the virus? When was the last time we invited back that family member who was angry at the church for X, Y, or Z? You know, as a priest, people always let me know that they're angry at the church. It's part of the job, I guess. And especially at Thanksgiving dinner, I could go on for stories about that. But people always let me know what they think, which is a good thing. So, you know, perhaps when our families come to visit us, maybe around Thanksgiving, what a great way to spend time as a family by inviting them to church with you on the weekend. Or perhaps we know people who are living, you know, immoral lifestyles, or simply lifestyles that are not in line with God and His commandments. Have we reached out to them, invited them to come back to the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession? More to the point, though, have we brought up our relationship with Christ and His church outside the confines of this building? Truth be told, your words will only have meaning if you yourself are practicing the faith, if you yourself are going to the sacrament of confession regularly, if they know you love your faith. Now, this might seem daunting, but we actually don't really need any preparation. Just like my mom with my godmother and our Lord with Zacchaeus, all that is needed is a simple but faith-filled encounter. Why? Well, St. Augustine, in the 4th century, wrote famously, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." Zacchaeus' heart was searching for peace. Money would not give that to him. And so he was seeking our Lord for some time. All Zacchaeus needed to turn away from his sins was a simple encounter with the Son of God. His heart was restless until it rested in our Lord's. Now, everyone in the world, in some form or another, desires the peace that only God can give. Everyone in this world, in one form or another, whether they even realize it or not, is desiring God. And you can tell this even in the secular culture, right? There are copious amounts of secular songs that talk about a yearning that can't be fulfilled by worldly desires, right? Let me try it. Let's think of classics like Bruce Springsteen's Hungry Heart or U2's I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For or Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams, a high school classic for me. Or even something as classic as Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Look at the lyrics. There are so many songs about desiring something more than this world can give. Interestingly, it's as if we were created for something more. Pope St. John Paul II said it so perfectly when speaking to young people. He said, "It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is He who provoked you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for compromise." So having said this, it's up to us now to invite people to find that fulfillment, to find that happiness, to find God. Because politics, the world, sin and vice, None of these things are going to satisfy us. Do we evangelize in our everyday lives? Do we try to seek out and save those who might be very far from God? It doesn't require a theology degree or a plane ticket. It simply requires us to have a desire and to be willing to work with God's grace. We have a duty to bring the gospel to others, but we should have no fear because God will be there with us to help us. You know, sometimes it might mean going out of our comfort zones to talk with someone, to bring up God to them when they're struggling. Other times, circumstances just happen to open the door to conversation. It literally falls into our hands. We simply have to be willing. As St. Paul wrote, "I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save at least some." Christ has no hands or body, but ours now.